The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, y'all, here's the breakdown of the trade. Harden lands with the Nets, obviously. The Rockets get a package including Victor Oladipo, 4 first-round picks, 4 first-round swaps. Indiana gets Caris LeVert, while Cleveland gets Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. On that note, we bring in Richard Jefferson. RJ, it's been a good minute. Good to see you.
Happy New Year. Good to see you guys.
All as well. I will get to you, in just a minute, sir, but I'm going to start with Max. Max, are the Rockets winners or losers after this Harden trade?
They're winners in this trade, and it's because, look, the history of the NBA is whoever gets the best player in the deal wins the deal, right? So we start with that. You want the best player in the deal. But the history also is, especially the modern history, if a superstar wants to get traded, he's not only going to get traded, a superstar, an MVP-caliber player, he's going to go exactly where he wants. AD eventually, it took a while, got to L.A., didn't he? Right? Because they let the other teams know he ain't going to re-sign with you. He's going to re-sign with L.A. They traded him to L.A., and they got what they could. Same thing with Harden. You said Brooklyn, Nana. Where did he wind up? In Brooklyn. And that's because once they become free agents, even if it takes another year or two, they're just going to sign there anyway. LeBron, KD, they go where they want to go. So that's what the Rockets were working with. And what did they get in exchange? They got not just LeVert, who turned into Oladipo. Let's not forget, I know he's coming off a catastrophic injury. Oladipo's only 28 years old. And Oladipo, not all that long ago, was the best player on a dangerous playoff team. Like, he's very good when healthy, if he can get back to what he was. And, more importantly even, 4 first-round picks unprotected. Now, the first two aren't going to be much because Brooklyn's going to be really good. The Milwaukee pick won't be much, you know, or at least the first one for Brooklyn and the first one, the one they got from Milwaukee, because Brooklyn had Milwaukee's pick, ain't going to be great. Those are going to be good teams. But by 2024, do we know what Brooklyn's going to be? By 2026 and 7, do we know what Brooklyn's going to be? Because not only did they get 4 picks, they have 4 unprotected first-round swaps. So if Brooklyn winds up with a better pick than Houston, Houston gets to trade. And given the age of the roster and what they gave up, Brooklyn's going to be really good for a little while and then probably not so good. Houston, considering the way their hands were tied, made off like bandits here. They got a haul.
Max, you think about the haul and you're thinking about picks, and I respect that. I get where you're coming from, and I'm not trying to sit up there and say that I disagree, because I don't want to classify them as losers. But for the purposes of this conversation, the question that was presented to us, I'd lean towards that than winning because of this. All of those things you mentioned involve unknown entities outside of Victor Oladipo. And I know Victor Oladipo can ball. We still haven't seen him return to the Victor Oladipo we know and love, because obviously he ravaged that knee and he's getting back, and props to him because he's still averaging over 20 a game. He didn't want to be in Indiana anymore. They couldn't work out contractual situation. Neither side could come to an accord, and we get all of that. So you're going to get him, and pairing him with John Wall, who I've been very pleased by. I like what I've seen from John Wall, and I think he's only going to get better and better, to be quite honest with you. But the bottom line is this. You don't really have a known entity. All of those picks, what are they going to manufacture into? I'm a Knicks fan, as you well know, and I wish Obi Toppin nothing but the best. And, you know, I think that he's got potential. But everybody knows I was on the record wanting Tyrese Halliburton. And look at what he's doing in Sacramento right now. You just don't know who's going to draft who and how it's going to work out. You have to wait and see. The Houston Rockets had an opportunity to get Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons would have come along with another player. Ben Simmons and another player, maybe like that kid Maxey out of Kentucky or somebody else, along with a draft pick or two, I think could have been better. And I think James Harden forced their hand, even though they were talking about it. He expedited the process and prevented them from dragging their feet any longer by doing and saying the things that he did and said, which I don't necessarily applaud, but I totally understand what he was doing in terms of trying to get the hell out of Houston. In the end, what it comes down to is that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot. He does everything else. He's special. And if I got an opportunity to get my hands on somebody like a Ben Simmons, and I can get somebody else who can play and shoot the basketball, along with a couple of picks, and I'm not saying definitively that they could have had a couple of picks. I know they could have had at least one, but Philly had all their picks available to them. They weren't willing to unload both Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. It was just going to be Ben Simmons and another player, one of their younger guys. I think that potentially might end up having been a better option than just loading up on a bunch of picks, because they're unknowns, particularly with the state of college basketball being what it is right now. I just think that I would have gone the route of a surefire dude that I know could get it done on a night-in, night-out basis. That's just me.
Yeah, no, Stephen, I agree with you in theory. You know, when we're talking about who wins this trade, we can't, it's hard to really go into what they could potentially have gotten with other teams, right? So it's kind of like, okay, well, in this situation, who won this trade? And I was always taught, in order for it to be a fair negotiation, both sides need to walk away a bit unhappy, right? It's like you look at what Houston got. Now they got a ton of picks. Now understand how they got James Harden. They got James Harden because they had a ton of picks many, many years ago, and they turned those picks into James Harden. Now, a lot of times these picks aren't always used on players, and I agree with you. Tyrese Halliburton has been balling for Sacramento. He's been playing great, so that was definitely a steal, and kudos to Sacramento for pulling that one off. But when you really break down this Houston situation, maybe those picks aren't drafted players. Maybe these picks and all that you've accumulated allowed you to go get another player, allowed you to go get an all-star or an all-star caliber player. So when I look at the future and the leverage of what Houston has, I think it is fair. And I look at, you know, Brooklyn, they gave up a lot to get James Harden, who has been disgruntled. He hasn't been, he's not in great shape. He, you know, you can see, you know, how he kind of left the situation. So when I look at it, I think both sides got what they wanted and what they needed to help their teams move forward. And obviously there was other, you know, you look at Cleveland getting Jared Allen. I think he's a great young big. I think he's got a ton of potential in getting Torian Prince. So when you look at all of these moving pieces on all sides of this trade, everyone had to probably give up more than what they want, but they all got something quality back in return.
Well, first of all, they weren't, you know, Stephen A., let's put it this way. Tyrese Maxey also in that deal, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm saying hell no. And to my knowledge, that was not offered, Simmons and Tyrese Maxey.
I'm not, saying it was offered.
Simmons is,
I'm not saying it was offered. I was just saying they were asking for it. Right. They were just asking for it. I didn't say it was offered.
But yeah, you want a piece like, like Ben Simmons, because you could have all the picks in the world and Ben Simmons just doesn't exist, right? Like, and so you don't get a guy like Ben Simmons, right? Based on, but you have to consider the constraints under which the Rockets were operating. When a superstar says, I'm going to that team, believe me, he is going to that team. I've been saying this for months. Superstars, not all-stars, superstars in the NBA call the shots. They call the shots, teams got to get it through their head. And so he was going to go to Brooklyn. Now, what are you getting? And then when he expanded to Philly, maybe Philly. What are you getting back in that situation? If I were Brooklyn, I wouldn't. I think you could have gotten him for less. I think Houston played poker well against Brooklyn. Guys, they're all unprotected picks. Four firsts and four swaps. All unprotected. It's more than I think they would have gotten. If you would have told me that you could wind up with LeVert, maybe one other player you want, and two unprotected firsts and three swaps or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right. They got 4-4.
Again, all right, I see too many players that don't wash. Too many players that don't get it done. Right. I don't know who these dudes are. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Stephen A. wants to see results in a resume. Come on, you know this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C.
Tennessee, Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
My damn side just sore. I'm good, though. I ain't gonna sit here talking about my damn side the whole time. I'm good. I just had a whole workout, feel strong, feel healthy, so I'm good.
Aaron Donald, he's a full go, y'all. Aaron Rodgers better be ready. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you think it's more important that Aaron Donald has a huge game rather than Jared Goff in terms of them pulling this off?
No, I actually think it's more important that Jared Goff has a huge game. I mean, Aaron Donald's about to go against Aaron Rodgers. I don't give a damn what shape he's in, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful fashion. I love Aaron Donald. He's the monster. He's the GOAT. I mean, he's one of the GOATs. He's phenomenal. What I'm saying is that you're going up against that bad man that is Aaron Rodgers. He'll find a way to get around you no matter how much havoc you call, whether they're calling running plays, whether they're calling sweeps, whether they're calling him going to the opposite side of you, whatever the case may be. He'll find a way to work around that. Maybe not in an elite fashion where he's dropping 40 on you, but Aaron Rodgers is not going to just disappear. The potential for Jared Goff to disappear is there. You just had surgery on that thumb. I remember you had a couple of splinters in it, if I remember correctly. Clearly, you could not throw the football that effectively against Seattle. You had a couple of good throws, but you missed an awful lot. And we all know it was because of your thumb on your throwing hand. We understand that. Because of the injury to Jared Goff and how potentially awful he could end up being, going to Lambeau Field in that weather in Green Bay, Wisconsin, it can be incredibly excruciating for Jared Goff just to throw the football, let alone with any kind of accuracy whatsoever. So in light of that reality and the potential for how awful he could end up being, no matter what the Rams defense does collectively, no matter what Aaron Donald does individually, it may amount to nothing because you got a quarterback that simply cannot throw the football and your backup is already hospitalized after the last game. I definitely think Jared Goff is more important and more crucial in this game.
Well, some of the same analysis, but totally different conclusion. Because of a lot of what you just said, Aaron Donald is more important. It's not the Rams offense that's going to win this game. I mean, the fact is Goff came in for an injured Walford in the last game against Seattle and played well enough for them to win. But it was very early in the game. It's unclear whether or not they would have won anyway, even without Goff. When people look at this matchup, what is intriguing, there's that word again, Stephen A., about it, is how will Aaron Rodgers deal, how the Packers defense will deal with the Rams offense. How will Aaron Rodgers deal with the Rams defense? And where does the Rams defense really start? You know, respect to Jalen Ramsey, who is a baller, right? He can shut down by himself number one receivers. You almost feel sorry for the number one receiver. So few corners in the history of the NFL can do that, but particularly in this day and age. But the best player on the defense is Aaron Donald. You have to pay so much attention to him on the line of scrimmage. And as you just said, Stephen A., it still doesn't matter, but you still have to direct resources his way so other guys don't have to deal with the stuff that he's dealing with, and that it makes them better. Aaron Donald, like, Goff, whether Goff just now, like, the question is he going to play because of the thumb? It's less than 3 weeks ago, the surgery, right? Is he going to play? Or is a guy in Walford who got cut by the Jets, right, who had a job lined up outside of football before this year? Or is that guy going to play? Clearly, the Rams are not pinning their hopes on the quarterback play for this team. They're pinning their hopes on their defense and how Aaron Rodgers responds to the Rams' defense will determine the game. Aaron Donald is the most important player for Los Angeles.
No question. Six straight seasons, guys. First team All-Pro. That hasn't been done but since a defensive player since the 90s when it was John Randall.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about this? Saturday, UFC Fight Night takes place on ABC. The first time there's been a fighting sport on ABC since 2000. Max Holloway will take on Calvin Kattar in the featherweight main event. Our next guest, he never sleeps, always making things happen. UFC president, friend of the show, Dana White. Dana, always good to see you, sir. And I want to dive right into this because this is pretty awesome, right? To have the UFC on ABC. And I'm sure Max could chop it up with you all day about this. But ABC was the home of combat sports. We're talking Ali, Sugar Ray, Duran. What does it mean to you to have the UFC airing on the network?
Yeah, obviously, we're on fire right now. So for ABC to want us on the network and air us, and not just for us, but for the fighters. Like you were saying, you know, I used to watch it all the time. ABC's Wide World of Sports, all the big fights were on there. Ali, Sugar Ray, and for these kids to get this opportunity to showcase what they have on ABC is such a big deal to us.
Let's talk about the kids then, Dana, because Holloway, maybe he should still be champ, right? And he's fighting a guy, we just showed the clip, Cater's elbow against Stevens. When I saw that at first, I thought it was a straight right hand. The elbow was thrown like perfectly. If you got the back view, I thought these are two guys who like to stand up and fight. What should fans expect in the main event?
You are absolutely right, Max. They are both mean, nasty. You have the number one rated guy in the world, former world champion. Many people think he won the last fight and still should be champion, including himself, Max Holloway, taking on Calvin Kattar, who is ranked number six. Hungry, mean, nasty, knocks people out. And, you know, when we got asked to go on to ABC, I was so thankful that this was the main event. It's going to be a good one.
Dana, always a pleasure to have you on the show, buddy. When you think about the UFC, obviously you guys are doing a phenomenal job. And we think about guys with box office appeal. I mean, the Conor McGregors of the world obviously come to mind along with various others. Could you just rewind the clock just a little bit and speak to what he has meant for the sport, the UFC, in light of all the things that have happened since then? Because it just seems like even though it was growing and growing and growing throughout the years, when he went up against Mayweather, it took the popularity of the sport, it appears, to another level. Could you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I agree. He's a massive superstar, and that was obviously a global massive fight. It's the biggest pay-per-view of all time. It's the biggest combat sports pay-per-view of all time. And not only did he help, you know, growing the sport in the United States, but throughout the rest of the world, throughout the UK, Europe, Australia, Conor McGregor is a massive superstar for us.
So how do you do that, Dana? Because when I look at the UFC, and you and I have talked about it, like, you're a boxing fan who's like, I'm not going to make all the mistakes of that boxing made. I'm going to do the opposite of that, and you've done it. But one of the things it seems to me you've done is you've taken the best of the NBA in the sense that it's a star-driven sport, and the NFL in the sense that, of course, it hurts when you lose a big star, but it's really the brand that people respond to. They know there'll be more stars, and it's really more about the brand than any individual. Was that conscious for you? Did you have that plan? And how do you juggle the two? On the one hand, promoting these individual stars like the NBA and the brand like the NFL.
Well, they go hand in hand, really. What happens is when you have the UFC, which is, you know, a star in its own right, you know, you have this massive brand and you have all these superstars that live inside the brand, it goes hand in hand and they help build each other. You take a guy like Conor and he comes into the UFC and starts to work his way up, starts to build his name, he has that thing, that it factor. And as he starts to become a massive superstar, more and more people learn about the UFC. But the UFC helped build him. So it really goes hand in hand.
Dana, when I look at you, I mean, I want to get a little bit personal here from just talking about you for a second. Do you realize that you are one of the biggest stars in the UFC? When people talk about the UFC, they talk about you. You ain't in the octagon wrapping a belt around somebody when all is said and done. But when they talk about you, when they talk about the UFC, they talk about you. And I believe I know the reason why. And Max, you can chime in with this too if you agree or disagree with me. You know that Dana White is going to make sure people have get to see the fights that they want to see, which is a challenge in the sport of boxing. That doesn't appear to be the case in the UFC. Do you ever take a moment, Dana, to really reflect on it and think about things in that fashion?
Well, just like I was saying, you take all the big superstars and you take the powerful brand of the UFC. I'm the guy that's involved in every fight. I'm the guy that's out promoting every fight. I'm the guy that's telling you why this fight on Saturday night on ABC is going to be so good and why you should, whatever other plans you had you were thinking about doing, you shouldn't do because you should be home watching this fight. I'm that guy, and I'm aligned with all of them. So, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Since day one.
Dana,
let me ask you. Oh, go ahead, Max.
Go ahead. Sorry, Molly. In terms of Conor McGregor.
Go ahead, Max. You're fine.
Getting back to McGregor for a second. What would be your dream scenario from here on out for Conor McGregor in the UFC?
Well, this Conor McGregor that's going to fight next Saturday is the Conor that's fun, the Conor that I love to be around fight week, the Conor that I love to see get in there and fight on fight night. He's motivated. He's focused. You know, he has plans for the rest of the year. This kid is saying that he wants to go in. He's going to show us all something we've never seen next Saturday night, and then he wants to fight two more times this year. If that is true, and Conor does continue on this path and he fights two more times this year, he's going to fight for a world title. And, you know, if he wins on Saturday, and he will defend it. So it would be a great year.
We can't wait to see Conor. We can't wait to see Saturday on ABC. All right, I let Max go because I wanted to change topics here for a second. Dana, obviously, huge MMA fan, huge combat sports, boxing, we know this. And people probably think of you as a West Coast guy also, but you're actually East Coast. You're a Boston guy, and you are a huge football fan. I don't know if everybody at home knows this. Diehard New England Patriots. So please tell me, Dana, how has this year been for you? You can go anywhere you want with this. Tom Brady and the Bucks, your Patriots, what is on your mind?
Yes, I'm a Patriots fan to the end. When we flew over here on Fight Island, I had a Patriots hoodie on, and I was getting tortured at the airport. Everybody was like, what are you doing with this on? I said, I'm living in the past. You know, I'm a Patriots fan. But I am a huge Tom Brady fan too, and obviously I'm pulling for the Bucs. The Patriots aren't in it. I'm pulling for Tom and the Bucs to win this thing.
All right. It's going to be tough, Dana. Drew Brees isn't playing around, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. And especially Saturday night, ABC, looking forward to that card. And Connor coming up in the near future. Dana, we always love seeing you. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Fellas, let's keep it moving here. I want to get back to the other major story of the day. We continue to react to the blockbuster trade, sending James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets to team up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We now welcome former NBA champion Kendrick Perkins to the show. Stephen A., you're up here first, though. Hey, Perk, good to see you. Is Harden under the most pressure of any player this season?
No, I don't think he's under the most pressure. For me, it would be Kawhi Leonard. And the reason I feel that way, and I haven't jumped off that bandwagon, I've been consistent, and I know I'm standing alone, but Kawhi Leonard is the one that came to Los Angeles with the NBA title from Toronto and the NBA Finals MVP. That was fine. But the dude with the commercials and talking about L.A. is his town now with the king dangling from his – the crown dangling from his mirror and all of that stuff, basically putting LeBron on notice. It's a new day, and here I come. And then you have a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets, and you disappear in a game seven. You let him come back from a 3-1 deficit. He wasn't the only one. We know Paul George was, too. I got that. But it's Kawhi Leonard that was that two-time champion. It's Kawhi Leonard that was that star. It was Kawhi Leonard that basically told the Clippers, you want any shot at me, you got to go and mortgage the farm to get me Paul George. Otherwise, I'm going to stay in this town and play for the other team, which is the Los Angeles Lakers, with LeBron and AD, which will ensure you'll never win again. So all of those things that happen, that's Kawhi Leonard. Excuse me, it's time to pay up. You showed up. You put those demands. They answered the bell. Now you got to answer the bell. This dude, by Max Kellerman, was considered the best player in the world. Number one. That's what Max was saying. Max was talking all of that, Kendrick. He said, Kawhi is that dude. He's number one. I know the whoops and the oops ultimately came thereafter, but damn it, that was after a year saying he was the best in the world. And listen, you can say what you want about Harden. He's been on the radar. KD's back. He's on the radar. Kyrie's on the radar. We get all of that. Why does Kawhi Leonard get to fly under the radar? He is a superstar. He is one of the top five players in the world. I want to see him show up. And I desperately, desperately want to see him go against LeBron head up, straight up in the conference finals. That's my dream scenario, personally.
All right. Before I get to Kendrick Perkins, who tweeted some outrageous, blasphemous nonsense last night, let me deal with you first, Stephen A. That take would be correct if the Clippers just traded for James Harden. The Clippers didn't just trade for James Harden. The Clippers got Kawhi Leonard, who never had to chase rings, won in San Antonio, got traded to Toronto, won in Toronto, and didn't do so well last year. I give it up. I tell it like I see it. But the bottom line is he insisted on Paul George. He got him. Paul George choked in the playoffs, as usual. They didn't just add an MVP to that mix. Who added the MVP? The Brooklyn Nets. James Harden is going to a team with KD and Kyrie. And everyone's focusing on, is there more pressure on Harden or Kyrie? And that's a trick question, because the answer is there's the most pressure on KD. KD went ring chasing in Golden State, and he chased it down. He joined a 73-win team. There's no way they could lose. But then he did something very bold and brave. He went out and said, I'm going to see if I can win it in Brooklyn, a team that's never really come close. Just me and Kyrie Irving. Let's see what we can do. Now they added James Harden. Now, KD, Harden, and Kyrie. I'm not saying KD's got to win the whole thing this year. They're not favored to do that, but you got to get to the finals. Because KD, as a physical package and the skills that he's built up, as Kendrick Perkins will tell you, KD, compare him to anyone who's ever lived. He's almost 7 feet tall. Compare him to Magic, Bird, Michael, Kobe, LeBron, physically in terms of his skills, his shooting, and by the way, nowadays, even his passing has gotten so much better. He became a great defender. KD is taking a back seat in those departments to no one ever. He should be the best ever, right? But he's not. You know what KD hasn't shown he can do yet? Lead a group of guys to a championship who's not necessarily supposed to win, who just has a fighting chance. Didn't do it in OKC. Doesn't Warriors, he, come on, he added a dude to a team that's already won a championship and won 73 games, an MVP, of course they're going to win. No, this is something new. Why isn't KD? There's Bird, there's Magic. I said Kobe, obviously, Jordan, LeBron, right? Those guys all did that as the alphas on teams, on various different kinds of, that led them to the championship. KD's got to do that now. He ain't even got to win this year. He's got to get there this year. The most pressure is on KD.
You know what? I can't believe you, Max. I can't believe you. Well, I can believe you. But Stephen A., I can't believe you. All right? To come on here and both of you guys talk about two guys that are already champions, two guys that are already got two finals MVPs, and go sit up here and tell me that both of them are under the most pressure this year. No, James Harden is. First of all, Max, you're not checking nothing, all right? Let's get that straight real quick. You're not checking nothing. I ain't come on here for you to be talking about you go check me. You ain't checking nothing. James Harden is under the most pressure this year. He threw a hissy fit to get out of Houston, threw his teammates under the bus. I want out. I want this. I don't want to play here. And, you know, just didn't give Steve Silas a chance. And all this and that got his way. Now, you got your way. You done teamed up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You have zero excuses. You're the only one on this team without a ring. This is the reason that you wanted to leave Houston, right? Was to go get a championship. So the pressure is on you. You left a Houston organization that you built up for over the last 9 to 10 years in great fashion. Made them relevant again since the Olajuwon days, in my opinion. And then you left what you built up, left a lot of money on the table. Matter of fact, a 2-year, $103 million contract extension. You left that on the table to say, you know what? I want out. I want out. You quit on your team in Houston. You quit on your coach in Houston to say, I want out. I want to go to Brooklyn and play with KD and Kyrie. You got your wish. The pressure is on James Harden to win. He is the only one that is over the age of 30, in my opinion, besides maybe Russell Westbrook and Paul George. But Paul George is not in that MVP conversation year in and year out that hasn't delivered a championship.
Let me ask you this question, Kendrick, real quickly. What would irritate or insult you more? James Harden not winning the title? Or someone being disrespectful to LeBron James?
What you mean?
In other words, somebody coming to LeBron James, I'm coming to take what you got. It's a new day. It's a new era. Your time has passed. My time is here. We're forgetting how Kawhi arrived in L.A., how he elected to paint himself. And upon arriving in LA, I'm not negating your point about James Harden being under immense pressure. I get that. But we also got to look at the fact that, again, you're looking at Kyrie being there. You're hoping they'll get their stuff together. It's not even his team in Brooklyn. We know it's KD's team. Kawhi is the Clippers. Everything they've done is for Kawhi Leonard. Everything. And I'm just saying, here's the only point that I'll leave you with, Kendrick, and then I'll shut up. I want you to remember that when you say what you just said, while it has very valid points, you, and to a lesser degree Max, essentially is letting Kawhi Leonard off the hook. Okay, LeBron and AD are going to end up in the finals. We ain't even really thinking about Kawhi Leonard. We don't expect them to win. The Lakers are the prohibitive favorites. Where's the accountability for Kawhi Leonard when it comes to delivering the goods in L.A.?
No, Stephen A., this is my bad, and let me correct myself, okay?
Okay.
Before James Harden forced his way out of Houston, We had this conversation before. And if you remember, I said that Kawhi Leonard is under the most pressure.
Okay.
We already had this conversation. But now, since James Harden did what he did and now he's with the Brooklyn Nets, I have a change of heart. And now I feel like he's under the most pressure because he's the one without a ring.
All right. I don't, you know, you're right, because I didn't recall you saying that about Kawhi. My bad.
Look, the difference is Kawhi's there's pressure to get to the conference finals for sure for Kawhi. But we just saw it last season. And though Kawhi choked in Game 7, that wasn't normal for him in the playoffs. He had a very good playoff series, an excellent one, until then. It was Paul George who choked. And have they done it? That's what Paul George has done throughout his career in the playoffs. Have they added anyone that would change that? We were all talking about, what if they got Chris Paul? What if they got Rondo? Right? They didn't get any of that stuff. No, they replaced Montrezl Harrell with Serge Ibaka. That's nice. But that's not the kind of addition that team needed to be considered the favorite.
What?
Let's be honest about this.
Max.
And you guys are saying Kawhi because he's the best player on the team. Hold on. Time out. KD is the best player on a team that already had Kyrie and is adding James Harden. He has to get to the finals, guys. He got to get to the finals.
Max, you know what? You something else. Because about a month ago, or maybe even less than that, you was just sitting up here arguing me down, telling me how Serge Ibaka was a huge upgrade from Montrezl Harrell. Now you sitting up here saying,
upgrade.
Oh, it's a nice
It's a marginal
pickup.
Upgrade. I didn't say huge. I didn't say huge. It's a marginal upgrade. And by the way, LeBron James got AD, right? AD, how did he play throughout the playoffs? Like an MVP. LeBron is with another MVP. Kawhi not with another MVP, let's be honest. But guess what? KD not only has Kyrie, who's been a killer in the playoffs, he's got another MVP, at least in the regular season. No one else has a big three like Brooklyn. You're going to tell me that the best player on that team, a guy who joined already a championship team,
you know,
a 73-win team, to kind of reverse engineer his rings, that dude's not under pressure?
You know what, Max? And here's my issue. You know, first of all, you dissecting basketball with people who know more basketball than you. That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, this is the biggest thing that I'm going to bring up, Max. You're ignoring the storyline. In all seriousness, Max, you're ignoring the storyline. And I get what you're saying about KD. I understand. I get what Kendrick Perkins is saying even more about James Harden. Kawhi Leonard, 29 years old, man. He's 29. You calling out a cat that was 35 years of age at the time. What does LeBron do? He answers the call and delivers a chip to L.A. And he's now there, the prohibitive favorite. You still in town. You said you got Doc Rivers is out of there. He's no longer the coach. Montrezl Harrell is gone. Okay. Lou Williams is on the bench last night. I don't know why. I got to ask Ty Lue about that. But I'm just saying, we got to look. To me, to not focus on Kawhi is to completely let him off the hook about competing with LeBron. We want that confrontation, do we not? Do we not want that confrontation? Y'all want to see that?
Hold on.
I want to see that. I want to see
that. No doubt. But we're talking about the most pressure. And how can you, on the day after James Harden is traded to Kevin Durant's team, who already has Kyrie, how can you sit here and talk about, I'm missing the storyline, it's Kawhi? Yeah, that is a storyline. Kawhi is not playing with another MVP-caliber player. They did not drastically address what the team needed to address.
But I didn't
with
say James
leader.
Harden wasn't
under
pressure.
By the way, Perk, you talked about a vocal leader, a floor general. But that's not what the Clippers did. They had marginal improvement at power forward. That's their big move. James Harden's coming to Brooklyn. Of course that puts more
He's
pressure
coming to
on
Brooklyn.
KD.
He's coming to Brooklyn, but the focus is also on what Kyrie Irving is going to do and how is Kevin Durant going to help manage all of that. In L.A., it's about that dude ultimately going against LeBron. I mean, enough's enough. I love Kawhi Leonard as a player. I mean, my God, he's one of the elite players. I want to see him against King James. You said you were coming to take the crown. LeBron got the crown now. You going to get it or what? You going to go after him or what? What you going to do? That's what I want to see from Kawhi. That's all I'm saying.
No, and Stephen A., you have a valid point. But here's my thing. If KD, Kawhi, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, if those five guys decide to shut it down and retire tomorrow, they're going to be sleeping well at night with no regrets because they have champions.
That's fair. That's fair.
James Harden, if he retired tomorrow, he still going to have that over
but
his
I gotta
head
retort
that he never won a title. That's
I got to retort
saying
to that. I got you. And I'll respond by saying this. Is it possible, stay with me on this, is it possible that James Harden and KD are flowing and then potentially Kyrie Irving becomes a disruptive force at the most inopportune time and it could compromise their success? Of course that's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But hold on. Wait, what I'm saying is there's no such thing in L.A. It's about Kawhi.
Yeah, it's about Kawhi. Yeah, it is. Because then we just
Convoluted logic, then we just witness
Paul George shut down on the Clippers last season. And I don't want to, look, I don't want to dive
shut
too
down
deep into it.
What do you mean shut down?
Because he said he was dealing with mental health. And that's a sensitive subject.
That was the first round, but he addressed it and then came out and was balling for the most part for the first few games against Denver before the collapse. He said that in the first round.
Yeah, but Stephen A., they wouldn't have got through the first round if it wasn't for Kawhi.
Kawhi had one bad game. They haven't addressed the issue on the team. The issue on the team is not Kawhi Leonard. Unless, Stephen A., you think he's not leading well enough, and you have a point there, so there is pressure on Kawhi. But the day after an MVP gets traded to a team with another MVP who's never led a team to a championship except for the one he joined that all couldn't
today
lose.
We're not talking about the storyline for the rest of the season.
You could argue Kyrie
guys,
or Harden.
Can I get to that
the
tweet?
The obvious choices today are Kyrie or Harden. The answer is KD.
Okay.
It's just
guys,
that's crazy.
Let me get to that tweet because, Max, you mentioned it earlier, and it's pretty wild. So, Perk, I'm going to read it to you, even though it's your own great work of literature here. So Perk caused quite a stir with this tweet. I don't need to be convinced that Bron is the GOAT. It's stamped. But if this Nets team can make it out the East and Bron takes care of them, he's the undisputed GOAT. Beating two super teams today is greater than 6-0 in the 90s. Carry on. Stephen A.?
Oh,
is
no.
Is Perk right about LeBron's GOAT status?
No, I don't agree with Perk, but Max is the one that was talking smack to Perk. So I'm going to let Max get in here first. I'll close. Go ahead, Max.
You and Kendrick go at it.
Every word of it is absurd. Starting with LeBron's the GOAT, it's stamped. No, actually, Jordan's the GOAT, it's stamped. There's nothing LeBron's going to do now that's going to convince anyone who knows that at his best he's better than Jordan because he's not. No, the numbers say it and the championships say it. That's number one. Number two, you act like Perkins has an old soul. Perk, you got an old soul, but you're actually a youngin'. You're over 10 years younger than me and more than that younger than Stephen A. You didn't really live through the Jordan era, so you're disrespecting the teams he beat. Michael Jordan, just in the second three-peat, had a year where when he comes back, had a full season back, he beat a 60-win Shaq and Penny team. That was a super team that had just been to the finals. Shaq, Penny, and an excellent supporting cast. He swept them. He then beat a 64-win Seattle team with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. They were crew deep. They won 64 games. Well, if he beats another super team, the Nets have a big three. As I said, there's pressure on them to get to the finals. A lot of people aren't convinced they'll get to the finals. Most people aren't taking them to beat the Lakers. They're not the favorites against the Lakers because you brought it up yourself. A lot of people brought it up. There's only one ball. How are Harden and Kyrie going to play together? KD's coming back off the injury. Is his health going to hold up? Who's going to play defense? Because they weren't playing it well before Harden got there. Beating that team, you think? puts LeBron James over a Michael Jordan who never even got taken seven games in the finals at 6-0.
Max, you know good and damn well we only got 2 minutes left. Why are you going to chew up all the time? Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Kendrick.
Yeah, Max. And Max, I thought you was going to bring up Jeff Hornacek again because I was going to walk off the set. But listen, let me tell you something, Max. If you're about to downgrade that 73-19 when Braun came back 3-1, then you're tripping right now. And if you're about to sit up here and tell me that with a Kyrie Irving, who was one of the most skilled players to ever touch the damn basketball, and Kevin Durant, arguably the best scorer to ever touch the damn basketball, James Harden, arguably the most prolific scorer to touch the damn basketball, all on one team, and you're telling me that that's not a super team and it's not championship or bust? You're out your damn mind. It is championship or bust. And if they happen to meet up with the Lakers in the finals and the Lakers beat them, I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear that goat talk no more from me. You are Stephen A.
Well, Max, first of all,
the stuff you just said about Stephen A.
Kendrick, I got to go, but let me say this to you. First of all, Kendrick, I disagree with you. Secondly, on this show, I will say what I want to say. Thirdly, and more importantly, here's the deal, Kendrick Perkins. Here's the deal. You can say that all you want to, but you dilute your own argument because you don't even have Brooklyn coming out of the East. You got Philly. So evidently, they ain't that
so
damn
what?
Super in Brooklyn. All I'm trying to say is this. We got the late. Lakers got a chip. Lakers got a chip. But in the end, he's still LBJ. I love him. Number two all time. He ain't over Jordan. You
can
cancel
continued.
That.
Stop have a good
it.
One, y'all.
Just stop
Stephen
it.
A, he doesn't even have to come out.
I'll see you on Stephen A's World tonight, Kendrick.